Good evening, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Ascension Secrets of Saint Germain show. I'm Trica Saint Germain, and I have a guest tonight that I think all of you will be very interested in the information she has to share with us. Her name is Madeline Gerwick. She's a good friend of mine, and she is a professional astrologer as well as holding a degree in economics. She specializes in economic astrology and how businesses can chart what's happening, and us plain old folks can know what to do too. And she publishes a wonderful calendar, a calendar book called The Good Timing Book, A Good Timing Guide. And I'm going to introduce you to her in just a second, but first I want to give everyone the call-in numbers if they want to call in and ask Madeline anything. If you live in the United States, your call-in number will be 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, your call-in number is 888-810-8322. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Madeline.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Yes. So, what are we having for? Oh, sounds like we have a caller already.
Okay.
How fabulous. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
My name is Paul.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, gosh, you don't even know what we're going to talk about yet.
I don't.
Do you know Madeline?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. Well, then you know. Well, I'll just let you ask your question.
Hey, Madeline. This is Paul.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Well, I guess I'm really curious about gold.
Gold, yes. Great
There's
question.
Gold in them hills.
Well, gold actually will continue to go up this year, and we have two great reasons astrologically why that's going to happen. One of them is Pluto is conjunct the galactic center this year, which is at 26 degrees, I think 51 or 53 minutes of Sagittarius. And so gold is noted for whenever there's one of the outer planets being at that position, it goes up in price dramatically. And the last time we had a planet at that, an outer planet at that location was when Neptune was there. In late, like 1979 and 80. And of course, we had our big high. But that actually is the last high that we have in gold was in like 1980. Mm. So that is going to push the price of gold up. But of course, there is a second reason astrologically why we see the price of gold going up, and that is that Saturn is in the sign of Leo, and Leo is the sign of gold. Now, Saturn represents constriction and limitations and frequently represents a shortage. So at this point in time, we actually do have a shortage of gold. And if all the gold were returned to the central banks that has been leased out for years by the central banks, there would be something like a five-year shortage of gold. So it's a very large shortage that exists. So there are actual reasons why the price of gold could go up even without the economy or the dollar especially crashing. And those reasons have been out there for years and years. But this year, we're looking at some fairly major reasons why the U.S. dollar could crash. And as that happens, you know, the typical reaction is that gold goes up as the dollar goes down. And the dollar has decreased. I think the last time I looked at indexes, it was from between 2001 to 2004, it decreased like 33% or something like that. And there's really no reason for other countries to value the U.S. dollar in any great way, because even in Q3 of last year, 2006, the U.S. was spending $2.5 billion more per day with other countries billion, with a B, per day with other countries than what other countries bought from us.
Wow.
So it's $2.5 billion U.S. dollars every day going out of the country to other countries that are wondering, what in the heck are we going to do with this? And in the past, they've bought a lot of U.S. financial products, stocks, bonds, things like that. And they still do own, foreigners still do own a fair amount of U.S. financial products, but they also were buying, they would hold dollars to buy oil. And that reason is going away as the Iran started selling oil for euros, and Russia is now selling it for rubles.
Mm-hmm.
So even the standard reasons for owning U.S. dollars, or, you know, holding them, are disappearing fast. And so there really isn't any reason why the dollar would be valued highly when there's just, I mean, there are 2.5 billion of them per day floating around extra, you know, in these other countries. So,
mm-hmm.
so there really is no reason for gold not to go up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to hold you to this now, but I'm just curious. Any kind of idea how high it might go?
Well, I actually think that gold could go as high as $1,200 or $1,300, but you know, it's hard to.
It might
to,
not be
know.
This year. It might be a little bit beyond this year.
That's possible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It might be beyond this year. Yeah, it's hard to know because this year is a breakthrough year for
it. It's a which?
A breakthrough year. And this is basically based on two different factors that we see astrologically. One of them is the Mayan calendar. And this is what they call the fifth day of the transformational period that we're in right now. They have transformational periods that are known as underworlds. And each of these periods of time is divided into 13 sub-periods of 7 days and 6 nights. And the days are typically more active and the nights are more integration periods. So the fifth day of these transformation periods are known to be full of breakthrough energy, and the most major breakthroughs that occur in the world happen during these fifth day periods. So we're having that this year. That is happening this year. And I believe that lasts through like November 19th of this year. It started around November 24th or something like that last year. And at the same time, we're also having Jupiter square Uranus on and off throughout most of this year through, I believe, late October, early November of this year. So that is also very much breakthrough energy. And so things that you're not expecting to happen are likely to occur. So I wouldn't put anything, you know, out of range for gold. You know, it's just about anything is possible. Now, could it stop, you know, at 900? Well, sure it could. You know, there's no reason why it couldn't. But on the other hand, Pluto is known to be a much more intense planet than any other planet. And so my guess is it'll go higher than what the, you know, by a significant amount, higher than what we had at the last one. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks for calling, Paul. I hope that answers your question.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling in.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, Madeline, I was going to ask you about gold, too, so since we've jumped into the subject, seems like a good thing to keep it going. Now, before, when you and I were speaking, you talked about two different large aspects in this year that would be the times when gold would peak up. And I think the last one was around November or December of this year, right?
Yeah, actually I think it's October, November.
Okay.
And that is the last time that Pluto's at the galactic center. So it's you know, a matter of that being the last time that we expect to see it happen. But one thing I have noticed it just in watching these periods is that they're not precise in the sense that, you know, it's here today, so we're having our peak.
Right.
You see, it's not like that. And so frequently I notice that the day, you know, the month afterwards, after the peak, is stronger than the peak itself.
Mm-hmm. But do you think eventually after that peak that it will subside or that gold will stay at that level?
Hard to say. Depends a lot on what happens with the U.S. dollar. I imagine that at some point, probably not later than 2009, considering the way things are going and what the aspects are in 2009 to the U.S. chart, I imagine we'll see a situation develop where the U.S. basically has to change its currency. It won't be... The currency will fall in value to the point where it really isn't sustainable. And so, you know, it's hard to know whether that point will happen. Could it happen this year? Yes, it could happen this year, but it's not too likely. It's not as likely as in 2009.
Well, if something like that does happen, what happens to, like, for instance, I have a mortgage
right
on my house for a set amount of money.
Right.
And a set amount of money that I have to pay each month.
Right.
This is kind of a double-edged question. I have invested in gold.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I have it in between my box spring and my mattress. I sleep on gold.
Okay.
Figured it was a good place to put it.
Okay.
Be in its energy.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
8 hours a day.
Like Midas, you know. having gold, as I do,
mm-hmm.
you know, the mortgage company and the telephone company and this and that, you know, when the dollar deflates or things go screwy, how am I going to pay them? What do we do with our gold when the market crashes or the economy?
I mean, if they actually replace the currency, you see, they would probably be forced to put the U.S. dollar, whatever it would become.
Probably euros.
Well, whatever it would become, it would have to be backed by some kind of metal standard in order to have any credibility.
Uh-huh.
And so they would either put us back on a gold standard or a silver standard. They probably wouldn't use any other ones because it's too pricey to have something else. But, you know, they would go to a fractional system where, you know, X amount of, you know, ounces of gold equal, you know, some amount of money. And then, you know, you'd have to have that much gold in your central bank vault in order to create more money. See, right now, there's nothing to prevent creating money. I mean, there's literally nothing.
Oh, I know. The government just prints whatever they want.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's why it doesn't have value,
mm-hmm.
you see. And so it's, you know, it's actually not going to impact you in the sense that they would have some kind of ratio or whatever. Your old U.S. dollars are worth this many new U.S. dollars.
So would the banks then be forced to adjust the mortgages and payments to that standard as well?
I don't know how that part would work. Probably they would just, I don't know how that would work because, yeah, there'd be some, it's hard to say how that would all play out, but, you know, there would be some way. You know, they changed, I'm trying to remember back in, I want to say the 40s, they had Bretton Woods and decided, you know, what the currencies would all be worth in relationship to each other and things like that. And, you know, life pretty much went on normally. You know, there was no great catastrophe when that happened. But, you know, I'm just thinking about what happened with Germany. You know, when their dollars or their Deutschmarks became worthless, and they would take a wheelbarrow full of Deutschmarks to the grocery store and buy a loaf of bread with it.
Right.
You see, I mean, that's another example of what can happen to a currency. So, are there still Deutschmarks? Of course, you know, there's. Well, not actually now, because they got rid of national currencies over there. But there were Deutschmarks afterwards. You know, after that happened, because they did something to stabilize the currency. See, and they would have to do something similar here, and they would most likely have to put it on to a metal standard. And actually, in effect, there has never, ever, 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 ever been a successful currency that was not backed by a metal standard.
Right.
So, you know, it's only a matter of time.
Okay, so now that we have everyone just totally petrified.
buy some gold. Go buy some gold coins, some eagles, some buffaloes, you know, some maple leaves.
So I know that the economic trends and what your forecast and all, it has, gold is only one part of what you've been talking about. Why don't you catch people up to speed of...
Okay. You want me to tell them about the economic revolution that we're having?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Well,
and how that's part one, and part two is how to prosper within it.
Yes, absolutely right. Yes. There's no reason why we can't all prosper throughout this entire process.
Oh, and let me just say a little quick little explanation. You know, my show is called Ascension Secrets of Saint Germain. And so people expect everything to be about physical ascension and raising frequency and vibration and all, and every now and then I have a guest that people kind of wonder, how does that fit in with ascension? So I'm going to tell you, ascension is truly becoming a master of all aspects of the third dimension. That's when you ascend, is when you have mastered this dimension. And so economics and finances and health and everything that you can think of, all the aspects of third dimensional life have to do with ascension. So I can talk about anything. Okay, so Madeline, go ahead.
That's a great explanation. Okay, so beginning in May of 2000, we began the first of two 20-year periods where we are having an economic revolution. Now, astrologically, these were shown by three planets, and two of them were together in the same place. That was Jupiter and Saturn together in the same place. They take 20 years to go around and meet up again. And they were in a challenging configuration to the planet Uranus, which is a planet that is known for bringing sudden and unexpected changes. And Jupiter and Saturn are the two planets that are most associated with our economy, and not just the financial side of it, but also the social side of it in all ways. So it's not just an economic revolution that we're having, but we're also having a social revolution at the same time. And the two are intertwined. There's really no way to separate it out. So when we first started down this path of economic revolution, there were lots and lots of corporations laying people off, and there were not jobs for people to go and get. So part of the revolution is that people are moving out of corporate America, and they're moving into creating jobs and companies that are more closely related to their own passion. So a lot of the new jobs that will occur are going to come from the people who were originally laid off and then went off to start their own companies. And this is a major trend. So it takes time. You don't see everything happen all at once. It's not a quick cycle, of course. The last time we had an economic revolution was in 1861. I believe it was October. And it was associated with the Civil War. And, of course, the Civil War was a dramatic loss for the U.S. economy. We lost 620,000 people, you know, who died in the Civil War. And then we lost the manpower of many other men who were maimed and crippled for life. And, of course, the economy was devastated by that entire situation. It took, of course, another generation for that whole mess to stabilize and right itself. You had to grow a new population of people. So that's not something that's quick. So this one is different because we are undergoing fairly major changes, and we do have, you know, a war going on, if you could call it that. But it's a different set of circumstances, and the changes that are occurring primarily in our work lives and in the way that companies work themselves. So there are a lot of different changes occurring in terms of what products are out there and available, what, how companies market themselves. So, for example, lots of companies are now partnering up. They have marketing associates that refer business to them, or they do business with the same client. You see Barnes & Noble and Starbucks together offering their services to the same customer, and frequently in the same building or right next door to each other.
Uh-huh.
And that is just a quick example of how many companies are working differently. And rather than trying to go out and compete alone, you see, which is an old method that doesn't work well anymore, they're buddying up,
you see.
So that's a new strategy that occurred, you know, after the year 2000 started. We really started to see those kinds of partnerships going with companies. So it's a matter that the entire economy is switching over to a new type of economy. Now, since 1841, the Jupiter-Saturn conjunctions were in Earth signs, Virgo, Taurus, Capricorn. So we actually have had the last one that we're going to have in May of 2000. That was in Taurus, and the next one is going to be in the sign of Aquarius. So it's switching from an Earth sign to an Air sign. Now, what that means in practical terms is that the economy is going to switch over from things like that are just very tangible, things like agriculture and manufacturing and services and financial products. It's going to switch over to a completely different arena. So what's being sold now is things like data, knowledge, information. And the economy is going to switch over to selling these kinds of products via relationships and partnerships. And, of course, technology and innovation will be very big. So the whole focus of the economy is shifting to these new areas so that information and data, I mean, if you just think about it, there are many digital products now that you can download onto your computer.
Uh-huh.
That didn't even exist, you know, 10 years ago.
Well, and there's e-books galore.
Yes, e-books galore,
and
CDs that you can download onto your computer. There's just all kinds of things like that.
And and so much of what is being, well, music, you know.
Yeah,
course,
music,
one thing.
Yes,
but,
exactly.
But the e-books and the CDs and the things like that, are so much of them are how to do things. You know,
yeah.
How to change your life, how to start a business. Like you say, they're information.
Yes, it's information.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. So the entire economy is switching, you see, to a different orientation, and that's actually why I believe we are having this economic revolution. So if you kind of can get the idea that there's a whole portion of our economy that's going down, while another whole portion of our economy is going up.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so the old kind of bricks and mortar type business is struggling because that's not where business is at anymore. And workers are becoming knowledge workers, or are knowledge workers, and they're not as easily replaced as people who used to put widgets together.
Mm-hmm. Factory workers.
Right. So it's a very different situation because you can't just replace a body with another body.
But now, you know, this is very true. I can see how it's very true in America because so much of the manufacturing jobs and the factory jobs that used to be in this country have gone to other countries where the wage is much less. But still, astrology is worldwide. So, and we do still need things made. So
yes, and they'll be sold in a different way. So it's not like you're going to stop making food or widgets or clothing or cars. Yeah. But now you go online and you can buy a car online. Who would think of that?
Yeah.
You know, but that's true. You can go buy a car online. And so there's a very different way in which things are being sold and marketed. And even your major widgets that, you know, you used to just kind of think nothing of have now got computers in them, right? So your car now has computers in it, and pretty soon you've got some kind of online guidance system or, you know, in cars and things like that. So even the information is getting into products that we used to think, you know, oh, it's just a washing machine. Well, now your washing machine has got all kinds of information in it,
mm-hmm.
You see. So a lot of things are changing in front of us. And, of course, there are a lot of products that we never had. I mean, remember when we didn't have an iPod?
Oh, well, that's real recent.
Yeah, or
I remember when we didn't have television.
Right, or how about when we didn't have email?
Yes.
So,
you know, 12 years ago.
Yeah, you know, so things have really...
I mean, the Internet really just kind of took off about 12 years ago.
Right. So there are these economic and social revolutions going on, and many people actually work out of their own home now.
Yeah, I've been doing that for 28 years.
And so, you know, there's quite a group that's behind our group, and we're what I would call in the baby boomer group.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group behind us that is really not interested in security per se. They're much more interested in freedom. And, you know, they want their values to be respected when they go to work. And so for them, if they didn't have, let's say, flex time so they could handle their family responsibilities, as an example, easily, they wouldn't value that job. So a lot of companies will change as this progresses because they'll be forced to change in order to have the labor that they want in their companies. So there are many possibilities that this economic revolution will bring about. And, of course, the change to the U.S. dollar is only one of those, you know, having a change. The last time we had the economic revolution in the 1860s, the U.S. government printed what they called greenbacks, which was money that was not backed by anything. Well, how interesting that we're in the same situation again.
Yeah.
Our money is backed by nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess what they actually say is it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, right?
Which is diminishing greatly as each day.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting that, you know, we finally hear from the GAO recently, the Government Accounting Office, that, you know, there are significant material weaknesses related to our federal financial system, and and they really cannot reliably report a significant portion of its assets, liabilities, costs, and
right.
other related information. And
they forgot to save the receipts.
Yeah, right. And so their conclusion is, you know, that they're unable to express any kind of an opinion on their consolidated financial statements for the fiscal years ended in September 30th, 2006 and 2005.
Now, you know what would happen to any one of us that tried to pull that
when the IRS. We'd probably be in jail.
Yeah. Where's the accountability? What's going to happen?
Exactly. So,
is it going to be another one of Bush saying, "Oops, my bad."
Right.
I hate that expression. It's so dumb.
It's hard to say what will happen in terms of when in you know, is it going to be this year, next year, or the year after, because there are different cycles that any of these things could occur within during those time periods. But there is definitely plenty of reason to believe that the deficit, and I believe the last numbers that I sent out was that, you know, the deficit, the U.S. deficit actually went up to $4.6 trillion, up from $3.5 trillion a year earlier. So that was essentially a 31% jump in the deficit.
In 1 year.
In 1 year. And the actual deficit...
Well, and 7 years ago it was at zero.
Yes, right.
Clinton was in office.
Yeah. And the actual deficit that's reported is actually, you know, much, much less. I think they report $248 billion as the deficit, and but it's actually $4.1 trillion. And the actual total federal obligations, so that includes Social Security and Medicare and things like that, is $54.6 trillion.
Oh, even more.
And that's up from $50 trillion in 2005. And for that matter, it's up from $32.7 trillion in 2002. So, you know, $54.6 trillion is the total obligations that we have, which is an astonishing number. It's something like $181,000 of debt for every man, woman, and child in the country, which is an astonishing number.
So what do we do about this?
Well, that's why I say probably what will happen is that there will be some kind of change in the currency, and then a lot of things will be settled based on that. And who knows how that will all wash out in the end. But in the meantime, I should talk to you about how you can prosper from this situation.
Yes, that's what I mean. What can we do about this?
Yes, okay. So first of all, a lot of what happens when you're in this type of a situation where there's a lot of uncertainty and kind of economic chaos is mostly that we tend to go into fear. It's just kind of an automatic with us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, it's not something we're thinking about. We're not conscious of it. It's what our bodies feel. So it's something for us to become conscious of, because the first thing that happens when we go into fear, and I'm just talking about our bodies going into fear.
Yeah, everything tightens up.
When that happens, we're energetically pushing money away from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to do everything that we can to stay out of fear. Now, one of the things that you can do, there are people who offer things like emotional freedom and healing releases, emotional freedom therapy, TAT processes. These are all various types of emotional freedom releases that can release fears of, you know, lack of money, things like that. And Polaris actually offers one of these CDs, and they're processes where you tap on various meridian
oh, right,
points,
yeah. Uh-huh.
And you tap with while you're saying words of intention, and then do some deep breathing to release the energy out of your body. And it actually works, and to the degree that you release something, it's actually permanent. So you can do these processes, you know, 2, 3, 4 times, whatever it takes, so that you actually get out of fear. And that's really, really important, because until you get out of fear, it's very, very hard to do the right things to attract money to you.
Well, and that back to what does this have to do with ascension, that's very true for any aspect of a human. You have to eliminate fear in order to ascend.
Yes, absolutely right, yes. So there are lots and lots of tools out there for people to use. People have probably seen The Secret, the movie The Secret, or there are books out from like Esther and Jerry Hicks, Ask and It Shall Be Given. There's plenty of prosperity books, spiritually
original and still one of the best, Napoleon Hill.
Yes, Napoleon Hill, yes, Think and Grow Rich. Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Oh, there's the 1 Minute Millionaire, there's... you know, there's actually dozens. And even John Price has a wonderful book out there called The Abundance Book,
mm-hmm.
with a nice program that you can use for 40 days or so. And it's wonderful. And Polaris offers prosperity training for business people so they can stop pushing money away from themselves and mm-hmm. their businesses and start bringing it to them in a much easier way. So what is actually different now that we have the 2 for the millennium number instead of the 1 is that going out and getting something is not favored. What's favored is attracting it to you. So, for example, when Polaris wanted
you're speaking numerologically,
yes.
Whereas the last years started with a 1.
Right.
1900, 1800,
right,
1999, blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
Now we're into the 2.
2.
And the 2 number is the number of partnership and unity.
Yes, and it's a female number, so it's mm-hmm. much more receptive. It's much more interested in attracting things to you. So this is a very different type of energy. It's much more collaborative and cooperative. It's just a whole different orientation from what we had when we were with the competitive 1.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually much more favored for you to attract whatever you want to yourself. You know, we teach some various processes to attract, you know, whatever it is that you want. There are lots of ways you can do this. You know, a quick way is to put either a God jar or a vase, a box that you like a lot in your upper left corner of your desk. That's your wealth corner of your desk.
So upper left would be the left-hand side?
The left-hand side.
At the very top?
At the corner that's furthest away from you.
Right, okay.
So you put a box there and you put in it whatever it is that you want the most for the universe to bring you. So an example of that would be when Polaris wanted to have a column on conscious business in a national magazine. You know, a glossy magazine,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
you know. And to do that would typically take a lot of work. You'd have to go off and first you'd have to write sample columns, and then you'd go off to research and find out who would be appropriate magazines would be and who would the editor be and on and on and on, see? So that just strikes us as a lot of work and we don't want to do that kind of stuff. So
mm-hmm.
we just put in our God jar that we wanted a national column in a magazine. And about 6 weeks later, a woman called me and said, well, we'd love for you to write an astrology column in our magazine. And it's new and we're going to, you know, this is the focus and so on. And I said, gee, I'd love to write a column for your magazine, but I'd much rather write it on conscious business and not just on astrology. And she loved the idea, and she said yes without ever seeing a single sample column.
Cool.
And she loves our columns. You know, she thinks they're great.
What magazine is it?
That's Promise Magazine, which came out for the Jewish community.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was quite funny that the universe would send me a Jewish magazine, because I've been talking to it about sending me clients who could pay their bills, you know, and could pay for my services, you know. And so I thought it was quite funny it sent me a Jewish community magazine. And it is a very glitzy magazine, you know. They've got a lot of major stars on the covers. You know.
So in this receptacle that you're calling a God jar, someone else might want to call it a prosperity jar. Or
yes,
an idea
yes,
jar,
anything
whatever.
You like, yeah.
But the way you put that in is you write on a piece of paper what you want?
Yes, write on a piece of paper what it is that you want.
Mm-hmm.
When you do this, it means that you're going to give it up to the universe to provide.
Right.
You're not going to go out and spend all this time trying to make it happen.
Right.
You're going to let the universe bring it to you. Now, actually, one of the things that people find the hardest to do is to allow the universe to do that, because we're so used to being in our plan, organized, control, 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 control.
Oh, God, let me tell you, I know that, because all the years that I lived in Los Angeles, and I was an entrepreneur, and I just started one business after another, and created my own way of making money, because I quit my last real job in 1980.
Oh, good for you.
And, you know, and in Los Angeles with millions and millions of people, almost anything you do that's halfway decent, you've got an audience for it, and you've got paying customers, and you can do it, you know. And,
right.
And then you have people, you've got resources, and if you need a plumber, you know, you've got about an inch worth of yellow pages of just plumbers.
Yeah.
And they're all
right.
Competing with each other, and they want to be the best, and they want your business, and they'll be there in 5 minutes. Well, then I moved to Mount Shasta, population 5,000 on a good day, you know. most of which were either retirees or on the county dole, you know, getting welfare. Certainly not the kind of people that have $65 a person to go to a murder mystery dinner theater, or are interested in buying some of the other things that I did. And so I went from, because my attitude when I moved up here, and everyone told me how hard it was to make a living, my attitude was rather snotty, actually. And I said, I'm an entrepreneur. I create my own money. I don't need a paycheck. Well, it wasn't until I got here that I realized, well, yes, I create my own money, but I need people to buy my products and my services in order to support me.
Right.
So I was just put into a whole different realm. And then the other thing was, I had 2 points. One was about not being able to get people to buy stuff. I forget what the other one, but anyway, it was really different.
Yeah, really different.
Oh, it's about going out and getting things. So in LA, I was very, very strong male energy at that time of my life, because I was my sole support, and I created businesses, and, you know, and I went out into the world and I hustled, you know.
Right.
I was always making deals. Hey, you know, I want to buy this. Hey, you need that. Let's do a deal. Blah 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 blah. You know, and very active. Making it happen.
Right.
Well,
yeah, that was very, very common energy in that period.
Yes.
Very
and coming
common.
To Mount Shasta, there's nobody here to make it happen with.
Right,
you know,
right.
Case in point where I was going with the plumber thing is in L.A., you know, you've got a million plumbers to choose from. In Mount Shasta, you have two, and one's busy and the other one's gone skiing.
Uh-huh, right.
And maybe they'll
yeah.
call you back in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know? So I had to learn to be totally a different type of personality and sit and wait for things to happen. And
yes,
I want to tell you,
different.
It drove me
nuts. And you don't actually have to sit and wait. You know, there are ways to be active in the sense of you're still going to send out your emails or you're still going to send out your direct mailers or whatever to your clients and
right.
customers. It's not as though you're doing nothing. But really what you're doing is you are sending the universe a clear picture of what it is that you want.
Right. You're letting the law of attraction and the law of manifestation
work for you. Yes, that's right.
Rather than creating it yourself with
exactly.
your own will.
Exactly. Well, you are creating it yourself.
You are.
But you're not making it happen. You're not forcing it to happen.
Right.
Now, one quick tidbit that I will pass on, because this is really a fast way to help increase your money, is that whenever you pay your bills and you're paying your bills and feeling like, oh, geez, you know, I really don't want to pay these bills or I don't have enough to pay these bills or whatever, you're not in joy at paying your bills. One thing to remember is that you are actually pushing money away from you in that state. You
mm-hmm.
are ensuring it will not come back to you.
Right.
So it's really a great idea to pay your bills in joy.
Yes.
And you should be in joy because
yes.
you received some wonderful service and you want to send that energy of gratitude for those wonderful services back out into the world with your payment.
Mm-hmm.
So when you write your checks, you can write, you know, with tenfold blessings, with many prosperous blessings, something
mm-hmm.
on it that puts the energy of joy back into that
right.
activity. And then when you send it out, you know, just imagine all the people that are blessed by your payments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the families that are out there and all the homes that are touched by
right.
your payments.
Well, and even just the acknowledgement as you're paying the bill of how thankful you are that you have the money to pay this bill.
That's right.
That
exactly
brings that
right.
money back to you as well.
Yes. And even if you don't have money to pay all of your bills, to be just totally joyful that you can pay whatever you
the
can pay.
Right.
You know, and that will bring money back to you. So you want the money to come back to you. So it's going out in joy. And then see it coming back to you as it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that will help people to also bring the money back to them as they're paying their bills and so forth.
Well, and you know, another thing too that's really helpful, and for many, many years I just kind of scoffed at it and didn't think it was anything important or real, and that's the concept of tithing.
Yes, gratitude. Yes,
I thought yes. tithing was something. It was yet again something else that the very third dimensional side of religion created in order to make you feel guilty to give them more money. You know, and
well, and if you do feel guilty when you give them the money, you won't actually get the benefit.
No,
from
you
it.
Won't. You won't. But
so
that's why I scoffed it because I thought, no.
Yeah. So actually,
but it
giving
works.
Money,
it
donating.
Works.
Donating actually works as long as you do it in joy.
Yes, and you do it to where you feel that you're getting benefit from. And
right.
tithing really does. I tried it a couple of years back just as an experiment, and it was amazing.
Yeah, it does
I think
does
we have
work.
A caller. Do we have a caller?
I heard a beep. Are we running out of time?
No. Well, we do have. And we've got 6 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe they called and hung up.
No, I've got now 40 seconds to get the next show on. We're already over 4 minutes.
Oh, good, because we started late. All right.
Yeah, I know we started a bit late, but we went about 5 minutes extra.
Okay, so I've got how much time?
We're over.
25 seconds?
Yeah, I would try to close it off in the next few seconds.
Okay, so
thanks.
Let me say goodbye to Madeline. Thank you so much. Her website is PolarisBusinessGuides.com. And say your number real fast,
it's
Madeline.
It's 877-524-8300.
Okay, great. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Madeline, for being on the guest. My guest, and I'll see you all next week.
Okay,
bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.